Yeah, budget deliberations are coming up for the city here the middle of December, and they're going to be checking out a lot of details on where they can save and trim some money here. Mayor Chad Baczynski joining me, and you hit up social media, Chad, with a video earlier this week to share how you felt about these upcoming discussions, and I was curious if that video, had you always intended to share, or did you feel it needed to get out there now because you wanted to share some clarification on the Floral Conservatory, who are being very proactive and letting the public know they could be on the chopping block? Was that your thinking?
I always try to intend and get information out, but absolutely, just based on the feedback, I thought it was important to just put a message out, to take kind of my stance and how I see the process rolling out. Just remind, you know, everybody about why we're seeing the numbers we're seeing. You know, we did ask for this process, and it is shocking, but we have to remember that this is something that these numbers were behind the scenes, a lot of decisions made previously. Council asked to do this new process where it's putting everything on the table. And I personally wasn't in favor of the minus 5% referral that council made when we did the special council meetings. But because that was passed, administration was required to bring back options to get all the way down to that type of a cut. And that's why we're seeing some of the more extreme options in that list.
All right, just to be clear, the conservatory is one of many on a list all the way up to, what, economic development? The council will explore trimming for cash. Is that right?
That's correct. That's one of many, many options on the table, as well as, frankly, any other option that any council member could potentially think of to put forward at budget deliberations. So it's a very comprehensive list because that's what was referred to at the time when we did those special council meetings, those special budget meetings earlier on a few months ago.
And using the conservatory as an example, they're looking for a grant. It's mere cents on the property tax. I would think there's some beefier matters to look at and really try to dissect, aren't there? And what would you say those are?
I would agree. In my view, there are. And I think, you know, from my perspective, I think, well, first of all, you know, things like the Floral Conservatory, those are things that make a city a city. Those are what make Regina a vibrant city. So for me, those are the types of things that when we start to take away those parts of our city, it makes us less attractive. And it, frankly, it makes us a place that people may not choose as a city to live in.
So where do you see some of the money that you could go after, though? Because there's got to be a few in the back of your mind right now, aren't there?
Absolutely. And the areas that I want to look at are the areas of, like, I would say two main things. One is areas of potential underutilization. Is there areas or service areas that we've extended our services to that maybe, you know, are having an effect on, you know, a major area, but maybe we have some fringe areas that we don't need to focus on for funding certain things. And then the other thing I would look at is just overall, you know, what is the utilization of some of those services? I think there's areas, I'm confident actually, that admin has actually put, you know, through that massive list, there's actually areas that have low impact or no impact that we could just defer or adjust the service level that we're currently offering.
Okay, so the options range all the way from a 5% tax cut to an increase of more than 15%. What's your gut telling you where you might land?
My gut is, I feel like we could get into the single digits. I mean, just to put it out there, that's my gut, just basically my first blush at going through. But I've been diving in, you know, almost nightly now, going through that list and starting to get questions to ask.
So. All right. Budget deliberations begin on the 15th of December. How about Dewdney? Still waiting for it to open. What's your answer this morning? When is it opening?
It is opening on Monday, December 1st.
I can't believe it.
Well, believe it, because it's coming. I'm very excited. I'm excited for the businesses. I'm excited for the city. It's been a long time waiting. I'm so happy to see this coming to a close, the construction, so people can enjoy this amazing new street in our city.
You heard it here. Monday from Mayor Chad Baczynski. Agribition is on. I saw you at the branding launch on Monday. When you were a kid, do you remember running to Agribition with school chums and running through the barns? Did you like it?
100%. Yeah, it was always a great time, something to look forward to. You know, and I heard we're way up on kids attending Agribition this year, right out of the gate. So,
are you more farm boy or city slicker?
I'm city slicker. I mean, for me, it's always a new experience to see what's going on in the rural world. So I'm a city slicker. This is always all new things to me whenever I go and see what's going on.
Mayor, I'm out of time. As always, I appreciate your time. Thank you, Mayor.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. No matter what the man says, love is fine for all we know.
growing, all our love will grow. That's what the man said. Don't you listen to what the man said. He said.
Pretty foggy from Regina to Lumsden. Although visibility seems to be getting better in some areas, and from Lumsden to Craven, we're hearing there's no visibility. But shoot us a text, 1-877-300-7275. When it's safe on your commute, and we'll let everyone else know as well here, too. But U.S. Thanksgiving is on today. There is plenty of NFL football, so if your coworkers aren't showing up, and you recall they're a huge NFL fan, that might be why. I know people that take today off just to stay home and watch. Packers-Lions is the first game, followed by the Chiefs and Cowboys. Post Malone is going to be the halftime show in that Dallas game, too. And the Bengals take on the Ravens later tonight. Of course, it being an extra long weekend stateside, you see family movies jump into theaters. Zootopia 2 from Disney hits the
money box.
This is a make or break assignment. Fail and I will split you up.
No snake has set foot in Zootopia in forever.
Hops and Wild?
Wild and Hops. The dream team.
The love of the first Zootopia was that adults enjoyed it as much as the kids because it had adult humor. And they say in the Zootopia sequel, there's even more for adults. And it's actually 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, pretty high. And they're thinking it's going to rake in like $150 million over the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday weekend as well, too. Last night, Stranger Things returned with its first batch of new episodes for its final season on Netflix. And it just crashed the system, I guess, for a few minutes. Briefly, Wednesday, the highly anticipated fifth season of this series premiered, and the service went down for about 3 minutes as tens of thousands of people were all logging on to Netflix to watch the final season, and then all they were seeing is a caption that said, something went wrong, sorry, we're having trouble with your request. But eventually everything got working again, and Stranger Things is now sitting number one on Netflix.
We have a plan. It's a bit insane.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Everyone in? I want to see Vecna's heart on a platter.
Yeah, the Hawken kids are back as they're going to try and kill off that monster, and the town is under military quarantine as 11 hides from the authorities. The finale will air on New Year's Eve, but they've just dropped the first few episodes of Stranger Things, a series I've yet to watch a single episode, but everyone tells me, oh, you gotta watch, it's so good. But 5 seasons, I don't know, that's a big commitment.
You know the woman wants her cowboy like he wants his rodeo. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood, it's a dust and mud, it's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white of the knuckles, the gold in the buckle. He'll
win. 3 more days of aggravation, and last night the rodeo returned, and it was a free evening and rush seating, and within the first 30 minutes of the doors being open, it was pretty much packed. There was people standing, denied entry because there were so many trying to get in there. Sadly, they couldn't service everyone, but Lonnie West, who has spent the last 10 years as a pro on the rodeo circuit, a bull rider from Alberta, joins me now for a moment. And I know you rode last night. How'd it go?
It was rough. Not what I expected, but sometimes that's the sport. I got thrown off a bull. Actually, my buddy Coy rode that I'm traveling with here. He rode him earlier this summer, so I kind of knew what he was about, but
yeah,
he got me down.
Well, there's always tonight,
yeah,
right?
For sure. And
what does, try to help us all listening to feel what you feel in that 8 seconds, is like when you're on the back of a bull, is it like, to you, is it fast? Is it slow? Does it seem like chaos? Take me on the back of that bull.
Yeah, it's not too, like, it's probably not what you picture in your mind. It's fairly slow. Like, it's not slow motion by no means. I've just been doing this for so long. It's, I don't know, I don't even really think about it. At this point, it's more like my body reacting, muscle memory and stuff. Yeah, it's fairly fast. There's a lot of things happening in 8 seconds for sure.
Yeah, and you're kind of like dancing with the bull, right? With your
body. Yeah, yeah. Like you're more or less matching them move for move, right? Like they move right, you kind of want to move right with them. They go left or step ahead, you want to match that as well.
We were curious this morning, the guys at the back, we were talking about you coming on and excited to hear what it's like riding a bull. And someone was asking about, you know, you have your hand there and tied in like that.
Yeah.
Where's the strength mostly? Is it in the wrist and the hand, or is it in the legs?
Yeah, it's in the legs mostly. There's a little bit of both for sure, but like you're roping your arm. That's your anchor to keep you down, kind of. Mm-hmm. Lift on that when you have to, push on a little bit when you have to, but a lot in your legs, like keeping your legs ahead of your rope so you can, and then kind of standing on your heels almost so you can get up off your, we call it get off your ass, you know. You don't want to be really just sitting with your butt flat on the bowl. You kind of want to be up on them. But yeah, it's a little bit of finesse.
And you're a young man. Do you work out a lot or?
Yeah, not too much. I'm fairly active with my job at home and try and eat real healthy. And
what's the toughest part about making a living in this sport? You know, physical, mental, financial?
For me, it's been just staying healthy has been the hard part. It's been last few years, I'm kind of coming back. I had a couple shoulder surgeries, had my right and my left shoulder rebuilt. So it's just kind of been trying to get back to that. And so
an orthopedic surgeon is higher up on the list than your family members on your speed dial.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the tough part of it, yeah. Staying healthy, like, you know, I always say if you're healthy, you can win.
Lonnie West is my guest bull rider. Rode last night. You'll ride again. The way this is set up at Agribition, you ride every night. And yep. It's a point system, right?
Yep.
Okay, top points, top money. How many days of the year are you on the road, and what is life like?
I wouldn't know a number on the road. It seems like 180 days sometimes. But sometimes it's tough. I like being home. I got a fair bit on the go at home too with my own business and stuff. And all my family's at home too on the ranch. So some days are harder to get down the road. I find as you get older, it's a little tougher leaving, but we got a good group of guys that we travel with and it's fun. We used to go from Regina here in the summertime all the way to Grimshaw for the next day.
Kind of sounds like you drive for a living, but ride bulls for fun.
Pretty much, yeah. But I say half the fun of it too, traveling and just being with your buddies, like that's part of it, right? That's a lot of the fun in it too.
Can you walk us through your pre-ride routine tonight? Like what's happening in your head? You told me off air today, you're going to kill a little time, do some errands. You're going to go check out Agribition. You just rolled in before the rodeo last night, but take us closer to the ride itself.
6 o'clock, 6:30, we'll get there. It's pretty slow. I try not to get too amped up. Like it's probably a 2.5 hour rodeo. I'll do some stretches. I got my stretching routine and getting warmed up. Do a little bit of that. And then it's rosin my rope, get that stuff warmed up, make sure it's good and sticky to hang on to. And then I'll get my knee taped, dealing with a little bit of an MCL injury. So I'll tape my knee about an hour before, and then it's lace up the boots and put the shaps and vest on and head out.
Tonight, do you know the bowl you're going to be riding?
No, haven't seen the draw tonight.
When you
yet.
Find out what the draw is, you know some of these bulls probably on the circuit.
A lot of them. Yeah, pretty much most of them we've seen. Like you'll get the older bulls that are retired, and then you got the younger 4 year olds, 3 and 4 year olds that come up.
Is the older the bull the worse, or is the younger the bull the strongest?
I would say the older the better, because if they're good enough, they stick around and they get to be old.
I find it fascinating what you do, and I'm so thankful you would take a few minutes. I hope you have a great ride tonight and keep going all the way to some of that cash at the end here.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wish I had more time. Lonnie West from Alberta. He's a bull rider. Check him out at Agribition. There's still tickets available, I think, for the upper bull tonight. The lower is almost gone. Friday, Saturday, sold out entirely, but get some tickets while they're available, agribition.com. Thanks, Lonnie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Day 4 of Agribition. I'll be leaving my studio in just a few moments to head over to Agribition and hang out with the gang at Thunderstruck Ag Equipment, home of the Razor's Edge Concaves. I hope you stop by, say hello, and visit with the gang from Thunderstruck. And we're right across from Cowtown, in between the Trade Center and towards the Cooperator Center. You'll find us in the middle there. You'll smell the great food nearby. Oh, well, the brisket smells so good. And Evan Bray is on location, too, the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. He'll be there in the Trade Center as well, live here at the bottom of the hour in just a few moments. So come by, and love to meet you in person, too. And might want to consider taking the bus. They leave from the Northgate, Southland, and Vic Square parking lots. They are free to ride. Your admission is even cheaper if you're going early today. And when you get there, you only pay $20 as opposed to what it is at the gate. You don't have to worry about parking, which is largely at a premium by probably the noon hour today, too. So hope to see you at Agribition. Hey, looking forward to seeing whether or not I won the house or the Hospitals Regina Foundation Home Lottery. I'd love to win that thing. That was like $1.7 million. comes with 50 grand plus the 50-50 was over a million, winner taking half. They'll announce the winners later tonight, and we'll have them for you first thing tomorrow morning as well, too. But good luck if you bought a ticket in that draw. Hey, Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman is on CJME this weekend, offering tips on buying for tech and discussing what's hot and trendy. Got a bit of a preview from Mark. What's he got on the show?
So we have a packed Tech Talk for you on Sunday with four different guests. We're going to chat with Amazon. The new Alexa Plus is now in Canada, a smarter AI assistant. We're the first country outside of the U.S. to have this new and improved personal assistant. We're going to get the deets on that. Tech expert Amber Mack out of Toronto will join us with some holiday picks, some gift ideas that you can perhaps pick up on Cyber Monday at a discount. TD will join us to talk about a new, on a more somber note, on how they've partnered with a company called Empathy to help their customers who have had a loss in the family and they're dealing with their financials. And we'll discuss that, as well as the state of AI in Canada. Where are we at globally? And should we amp up our efforts to be more competitive? So a very diverse and packed Tech Talk for you this weekend.
Mark Saltzman, Tech Talk is on Sunday 2 till 3. Next week, Mark's going to be joining me with a lot of the holiday trends when you're out doing your Christmas shopping, what gamers want, what mums want, what dads want when it comes to tech. We'll go through with Mark next week on that. He told me about the LG Stand By Me television that is, it's battery operated, right? It can last up to 4 hours. You can take it in and out of your home to watch TV. It's on this rolling system. You can take it wherever you want. It's pretty cool. And stuff like that. We'll talk with Mark next week when he joins me on the show. $10 per day child care extension is coming. Kevin Martell has details on that from Premier Scott Moe. We heard that was going to be made official as of tomorrow, I believe. And police concerned about another grandparent scam making the rounds where they call a grandparent and pretend to be their niece or nephew, grandchild, demanding cash in an emergency. Police are helping us try to pass the word on that, hey, talk to your elderly loved ones and let them in on this scam so that they can understand what it's all about in order to be mindful of it. CJME News Now is 827.